Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, June 30th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
local officials issue fresh restrictions as coronavirus infections surge.
Intensive care patients climb in Miami, Houston, and Los Angeles.
Arizona and California close bars as hospitalizations rise.
With more than 500,000 dead, the WHO warns the worst is yet to come.
New Jersey hits pause on dining in for Phase 3. New York is considering whether to dial back some reopening plans. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Two prominent members of the Nets have tested positive for the virus. The Mets and Yankees get ready to resume workouts tomorrow.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Interactive Brokers Mutual Fund Marketplace. Clients from over 200 countries and territories have access to over 21,000 no load and 8,300 no transaction fee funds. Learn more at ibkr.com/funds.
U.S. futures falling as coronavirus cases climb. 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 5 points. Dow futures down 69. NASDAQ futures are higher, up 7. The DAX in Germany is now up 0.3%. The CAC in Paris is little changed. And the FTSE 100 down 0.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.3%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.63%. Nathan.
Karen, the local governments across the country are issuing fresh restrictions as coronavirus infections climb. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, in Florida, Miami-Dade County is seeing intensive care patients reach the highest level in nearly 2 months. We spoke about the surge with Miami Beach Mayor Dan Gelber.
Right now, the biggest concern we have is getting people to simply do what every health expert tells them they should do, which is to wear a mask. Wear a mask when you're near somebody, wear a mask to protect your parents, wear a mask to protect yourself, and they're not complying.
In Texas, data show ICU beds in the Houston area at 95% capacity. Dr. Mark Boehm is president of Houston Methodist Hospital.
Unless we have people across Houston wearing their mask and social distancing and all the other things they need to do, frankly, staying home at this point, unless you need to be out of the home, we're worried that we're seeing very rapid acceleration of the spread right now based on the testing data that we see.
And in Arizona, officials are telling hospitals to prepare for a surge of patients. The state is also rolling back reopening plans, closing bars, gyms, and movie theaters for 30 days. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. California is also reclosing some businesses to stem the spread of the virus. And here with details is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Governor Gavin Newsom says six counties are going to have to close down their bars because owners and patrons have not been following health care guidelines.
Because what we don't want to see happen is a few bad apples that are flaunting and exploiting the situation and making the rest of the industry, making some of their competitors look bad.
Meanwhile, Los Angeles has counted its highest daily totals of new cases and hospitalizations, almost doubling since May. The health director says immediate action is needed, or LA is quickly moving toward overwhelming the health care system. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. Well, even without fresh outbreaks, New York and New Jersey are looking to push pause on reopening. New Jersey's halting plans to restart indoor dining this week, and New York City is considering a similar measure. We spoke with Crafted Hospitality founder and Top Chef host Tom Colicchio.
Having 10 tables on the street is just not going to cut it. You know, in fact, I don't see a reason to open a restaurant right now, to rush to open up, only to lose money. But we're doing it because, you know, our people want to get to work. If you have PPP, it actually makes a little bit of sense. So your payroll is covered and your rent's covered. And so all you really have are cost of goods. So that helps a little bit. But that money's going to run out soon if it hasn't already run out.
New Jersey had been set to start indoor dining on Thursday. No new date for that effort's been set. New York City plans called for indoor dining to start Monday. An official delay could be announced this week.
And today marks 6 months since the World Health Organization became aware of the coronavirus. And after 500,000 deaths worldwide, the head of the WHO says the worst is yet to come.
The critical question that all countries will face in the coming months is how to live with this virus. That is the new normal.
The WHO says a lack of global solidarity is exacerbating the spread of COVID-19. Right now, half of fatalities are coming from North and South America.
Well, meantime, in Washington, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin weigh in on the economic toll from the pandemic. They deliver remarks to the House Financial Services Committee today. Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee reports.
The Fed chairman will stress the importance of keeping the coronavirus contained as the U.S. economy comes back. The rebound came perhaps sooner than expected, Powell says in his prepared remarks, released last night by the Fed. While this bounce back in economic activity is welcome, it also presents new challenges, notably the need to keep the virus in check, he says. Powell and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin will face questions from members of Congress on the disposition of the $2.7 trillion they've already appropriated. Has it saved jobs? How much has been lost to the Washington boogeyman of waste, fraud, and abuse? Both are expected to argue the urgency of getting money out the door outweighs errors made. And both are expected to tell Congress much more needs to be done to keep the economy growing. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. Also in Washington, tensions between the U.S. and China are front and center after the U.S. revoked part of Hong Kong's special status. The move makes it harder for the U.S. to export sensitive technology to Hong Kong. We get more from Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli.
I'm told by top Republicans in the House of Representatives that this is just one of the many tools over the course of the next few months that the United States will issue with bipartisan support, with the next round of legislative measures really coming into effect in October.
And the move to revoke Hong Kong's special status comes as Beijing approves a new national security law governing the city. That measure allows authorities to punish acts of secession, subversion, terrorism, and collusion with foreign forces. Futures this morning, lower. S&P futures down about 6 points. Dow futures down 75. NASDAQ futures are higher. They're up about 6. And the 10-year Treasury is down 2/32, yield 0.63%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get more details on the local pause in coronavirus reopening. Here's Bloomberg's Amy Morris. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. And yes, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says they are learning from other states' experiences. So indoor dining in New Jersey is being postponed. It was supposed to be allowed under Phase 3 reopening plans.
We have seen spikes in other states driven in part by the return of patrons to indoor dining establishments where they are seated and without face coverings for significant periods.
Indoor dining was set to resume on Thursday. There's no new date set for now, and there is a chance New York City might also hit pause on its reopening plans. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state will decide by tomorrow whether New York City will have indoor dining in restaurants in Phase 3, which is set to begin on Monday.
Our reopenings have worked very well. We're not going backwards.
Governor Cuomo calling on President Trump to issue an executive order requiring mask wearing in public, as many governors are doing, saying that the president should set the example by wearing a mask himself. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says even though restaurants might not be allowed to offer dine-in options, you can still cook out on the 4th of July holiday.
We're going to be able to open up the barbecue areas in our parks for this coming weekend, for the July 4th weekend.
He adds that as the city works on the budget under unusual circumstances, they've got no help from the federal government.
We asked repeatedly for the federal government to help us with the stimulus. It hasn't come.
He says police reform, a billion-dollar redistribution of funds, is included in the coming budget. A new Siena College Research Institute poll shows a majority of New York State voters do not support reducing funding for police departments. And Broadway is officially dark until 2021. The Broadway League says all live New York City performances are on hold until January 3rd. Finally, word this morning, President Trump did get a written briefing in February on possible Russian bounties on U.S. soldiers. President Trump has said he was never briefed because the intel wasn't credible, but officials with direct knowledge of that intel say they were aware in early 2019. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Amy. It's 6:09 on Wall Street and time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, thanks, Nathan. Major League Baseball workouts resume tomorrow, almost all, including the Mets and Yankees in their empty home stadiums. First time teams will officially work out together since March 11th. Opening day is July 23rd. The schedule not yet released, but it was reported the other day that the Yankees will open up in Washington. The schedule for the finish to the NBA regular season is out. The Nets on July 31st will play Orlando. There'll be five, six, or even seven games a day through August 14th before the playoffs begin. But now that the leagues are getting ready to return to work, the story is athletes choosing not to. Ryan Zimmerman, 35-year-old, longtime Washington National, insists he's not retiring, but there were three kids, including a newborn. He's taking a pass on this shortened season. Same with Arizona pitcher Mike Leake and Colorado's Ian Desmond. Mets general manager Brody Van Wagenen says his team is intact.
We stay in communication with our players. We want to support them and make sure they feel safe and that they're in an environment where they can be healthy for the course of the year. At this point, we've heard that all of our players are making travel arrangements and hope to make it here in time this week and anticipate everybody reporting to camp.
Van Wagenen says he's only aware of one Met who's had a positive test. Two Brooklyn Nets, Spencer Dinwiddie and DeAndre Jordan, have tested positive. Jordan says he's not going to finish the season in Orlando. Dinwiddie is unsure if he can after a two-week quarantine with Kevin Durant having not played this season. Kyrie Irving often injured. Dinwiddie has been easily the Nets' best player, averaging 21 points a game. J.R. Smith will play for the Lakers. The ex-Nick is close with LeBron James. Lakers needed a sub. Avery Bradley chose not to play. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, the organizer of the Tour de France, is holding a virtual version of the event this year, starting this week. Instead of riders coursing through the French countryside, 40 teams will race from home trainer setups, wherever in the world they happen to be. Unlike the three-week, 21-stage event, this one will feature six stages of approximately an hour each over three weekends, beginning Saturday, July 4th. It'll be broadcast in more than 130 countries and raise money for five global charity partners. S&P futures lower by 6 points, Dow futures down 76. This is Bloomberg. And it's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are retreating while the dollar index strengthens to a one-month high amid concern the new virus infections will slow the pace of business reopenings. European stocks, meanwhile, they're fluctuating with energy producers sliding after Royal Dutch Shell announced up to $22 billion in write-downs. Italian bonds advancing as a sale of 10-year debt saw the highest oversubscription rate since 2012. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 5 points. Dow futures down 65. NASDAQ futures up 4. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.63%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.5% or 61 cents at $39.08 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $2.80 at $17.84 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, local governments across the country are issuing fresh restrictions. Coronavirus infections are climbing. Bloomberg's John Tucker now has more in this live report.
And Amy, the number of intensive care patients in Florida's Miami-Dade County at its highest level in 2 months. Houston area intensive care unit wards are 95% full. Los Angeles County counted its highest daily totals of new cases and hospitalizations. Arizona is rolling back reopening plans, closing bars, gyms, and movie theaters for 30 days. And Governor Phil Murphy is pausing New Jersey's plans to restart indoor dining on Thursday. New York also considering postponement. And the World Health Organization first became aware of the novel coronavirus 6 months ago. And now with more than 500,000 dead, it says the worst is yet to come. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, John. And the White House says there was no consensus within the intelligence community over allegations that Russia offered bounties to the Taliban to kill U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan. Eight Republican lawmakers were briefed yesterday. Eight Democrats are going to be briefed today. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Marvin Lowe is with us now, senior global market strategist at State Street. Really curious, Marvin, to get your view on the second half. When you hear places like those down south hitting pause on their reopening, even dialing back somewhat, New York City thinking of putting some of its reopening on pause as well. What does that mean for markets looking ahead here?
Yeah, I mean, I think given how quickly things have come back, and, you know, my view being that this was going to be, a process with regard to getting a control of the virus, I think it just points to a choppy second half. Valuations are, rich in a lot of asset classes. A lot of that has been driven by all the liquidity that's been put into the system, and that, is slowing at this point. So I still think that liquidity is strong. I still think that the reopenings are going to have, the positive effect that one would expect on the data, so there's still some tailwind around it. But really the big push that we had, gets us to a point where I think we're in for a bit of choppiness as we kind of look through at least the summer and get more clarity on what the data looks like in the fall and just how much more virus blooms, if you will, we can expect going into the end of the year.
What are your expectations for the Fed? Of course, we've had the extraordinary amount of support from the central bank, at least signaling that it's going to have all these facilities open. Do you think we get more clarity on something like yield curve control in the second half?
Yeah, I think we do. I think the bets are out there now that it's coming sooner rather than later. I think the Fed would rather delay that to really see what type of policy it needs once it has a much better idea of what type of economy it's going to be dealing with. But they are not going to, at least from a verbal perspective, I think, take their pedal off the statement that they're there and they've got the markets back in terms of kind of handling and providing credit to the parts of the market that needs it. A lot of those facilities you talk about haven't really been used that much because the market has come back so much. Having said that, it still has that firepower available to it.
What do you think the congressional reaction is going to be when you hear Chairman Powell saying that the economy has entered a new phase sooner than expected?
I think they're going to be encouraged by it. That certainly has been one of the takeaways that we've had from the Fed is that the economy has bounced back a little bit better than expected. They're going, and Powell has caveated this whole process that, whether it's a second wave or whether it's, the large number of people that still remain unemployed, there's a lot of work to do. But we are healing and to a certain degree, we're healing at a better pace than what the Fed would have expected, a month ago.
Are you seeing that healing when it comes to the need for further fiscal stimulus, particularly given the amount of joblessness we still have in this country?
Yeah, I think so. I do think that the fiscal discussion has to move forward in a fairly aggressive manner, kind of given the timing of these unemployment benefits, given the jobs data that we're going to find out later this week, which will certainly continue to show improvement. But there are an awful lot of people that are still unemployed, and the lifeline that unemployment benefits and kind of the stimulus check provided is running out quickly.
Got about a minute left here. Where are you in terms of growth versus value? Are you looking at growth stocks as something of a safe haven?
Yeah, I still think there's still enough unknowns to me with regard to corporate solvency, how the data is actually going to evolve rather than just looking at it from the stock market's perspective. And growth continues to have an advantage both from a balance sheet perspective as well as to a certain degree business models that perform well in a more remote type of environment that I think we're going to continue to find ourselves not only for this year but maybe much longer than that.
All right. Always good to get your insights, Marvin. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. Marvin Lowe is Senior Global Market Strategist at State Street. As we get ready to close out the first half of 2020, looking ahead to the second half here, futures are slightly lower as far as U.S. equity futures go. The S&P futures are down almost 6 points right now. Dow futures are down 69. NASDAQ futures had been fluctuating between gains and losses. Right now, they're down about 2 points. 10 years down, 2/32, yield 0.63%, and the yield on the 2-year note is 0.14%. The euro at 1.1202 against the dollar. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 6:25 now on Wall Street. The World Health Organization is warning the worst is still to come after 6 months of coronavirus. I'll have more on that, plus a fuller check of the markets and all the latest business headlines on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are falling as coronavirus cases climb. Local governments are issuing fresh restrictions to stem the spread. And Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Officials in Arizona are telling hospitals to prepare for a surge of patients. And that has Governor Doug Ducey rolling back reopening plans.
Today's executive order will pause the operation of bars, gyms, movie theaters, water parks, and tubing.
Meantime, in Texas, data show ICU beds in the Houston area at 95% capacity. Sylvester Turner is that city's mayor.
The number of people who are being affected by this virus continues to exponentially grow.
Today marks 6 months since the World Health Organization became aware of the coronavirus, and the head of the group is issuing an ominous warning.
The hard reality is this is not even close to being over.
So far, 500,000 lives have been lost to the virus worldwide. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And John, later today in Washington, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin will weigh in on the economic toll from the pandemic. In prepared remarks to the House Financial Services Committee, Powell warns of extraordinary uncertainty and stresses the importance of keeping the virus contained. Tune in for that testimony at 12:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
Also in Washington, tensions between the U.S. and China are front and center after Beijing approved a landmark national security law targeting Hong Kong. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more.
The National People's Congress Standing Committee approved the law unanimously. That's according to multiple Hong Kong media. Xinhua expected to publish details later. Civil liberties, an independent judicial system, and free markets have been at the core in helping Hong Kong attract companies. Those values may now be in question. Hours before the law passed, the U.S. Commerce Department revoked part of Hong Kong's special status. The move makes it harder for the U.S. to export sensitive technology to Hong Kong. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. S&P futures are down about 3 points. Dow futures down 41, and NASDAQ futures higher, up 3.5. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 0.63%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.2% on 47 cents at $39.23 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.1% or $2.30 at $17.83.40 an ounce. The euro, 1.1207 against the dollar. The British pound, 1.2282. And the yen 107.73. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It is 6:33 on Wall Street. Now let's get more on how the New York City region is reacting to the surge in coronavirus cases. Here's Bloomberg's Amy Morris. Amy?
Well, Nathan, New York City is set to reopen restaurants for indoor dining on Monday, but that might not happen now. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says after bars reopened, people seem to throw social distancing out the window.
New York City is currently in phase two. Phase three would begin on Monday. But there are issues that we have to think through. One is there's a lack of compliance with social distancing in New York City.
Cuomo says the state will make the call by tomorrow. He says they also have to consider other states' infection rates on the rise.
New York is a hub. If other states have a high infection rate, probability is they're going to wind up increasing the spread and the infection in New York.
And Broadway will remain dark until next year. The Broadway League announced that all live New York City performances are on hold until January 3rd, 2021. Indoor dining in New York City was supposed to begin this week, but is now officially postponed. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy.
Today, we must hit pause on the resumption of indoor dining, which was also to resume this coming Thursday. Under our revised plan, indoor dining will now be reset to resume at a later date to be determined.
He says New Jersey is just watching the rates rise in other states and just doesn't want to make the same mistake, so they're waiting. New York City, meanwhile, is crafting the next year's budget. Mayor Bill de Blasio says these are unusual circumstances and that the city has gotten no help from the federal government.
We have been the epicenter of this pandemic, and yet the federal government cannot manage to get New York City the help it needs, nor so many other cities and states. So the federal government side has been, in so many ways, missing in action.
And he says police reform is a big part of the budget.
I'm excited to say that we have a plan that can achieve real reform, that can achieve real redistribution, and at the same time ensure that we keep our city safe.
De Blasio's plan would shift about $1 billion from the police department to other social programs. A new Siena College Research Institute poll shows a majority of New York State voters do not support reducing funding for police departments. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. We're coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street. Let's get the Bloomberg sports update now from John Stashower. John?
All right, Nathan. When the NBA season resumes, the Nets will be in a battle with Orlando and Washington. Three teams vying for two playoff spots, but the Nets will hardly be at full strength. No Kevin Durant, no Kyrie Irving, and now DeAndre Jordan has the virus, says he won't play. And Spencer Dinwiddie, who's played every game, has flourished into a top player. Also has it. Dinwiddie tells The Athletic he's had a fever and chest pains. He'll be quarantined for 2 weeks, unsure if he'll be able to play after that. Fred VanVleet of the Raptors says the timing of returning to work is terrible. With so many states having an uptick in cases, VanVleet says, we all know the right thing to do is not play, but he admits players don't want to give back money. Baseball workouts resume tomorrow, and the Mets have just added three veterans, outfielder Melky Cabrera, infielder Gordon Beckham, and reliever Hunter Strickland. Mets GM Brody Van Wagenen says, with protocols at the stadium in place, he's more worried about when players leave.
We want people to respect themselves, and we want to respect people's free choices to move. We're not going to create penalties or fines for players when they leave the ballpark. But we trust them. They trust us, and we trust each other. And that's how we feel like we're going to get through this in the best way possible.
Van Wagenen says he's only aware of one Met who's had a positive test, as he doesn't expect any players to opt out. Four did so yesterday, including Washington's veteran slugger Ryan Zimmerman. The NHL has conducted about 250 tests, and 15 came back positive. 11 others have had a positive test conducted on their own, and still NHL training camps will officially open in a couple of weeks. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thank you, John. 6:37 now on Wall Street. Some other stories we're following for you. A growing list of companies pausing advertising on Facebook. Critics accuse the social network of inadequately policing hateful content on its platform. We spoke with Facebook's Vice President for Global Affairs and Communications, Nick Clegg, about the issue, and he says the platform can't eliminate all hate speech, but it is aiming to better control it.
We have no incentive to have hate on our platform. Crucially, our users don't like it. They don't like to see hateful, inflammatory content on their news feed. And of course, advertisers, they've made quite clear, don't like it either. It's not a question of whether one is for or against hate. Everybody is against hate. It is, what do you do about it?
Well, dozens of brands are putting social media advertising on hold to condemn divisive and racist content. Microsoft is the latest to join Starbucks and PepsiCo in cutting back spending. Shares of Micron Technology are up 4% in early trading. That's after the company delivered a strong sales forecast. Here with details is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The quarter suggests demand is recovering as parts of the global economy emerge from the pandemic lockdown. The COVID-19 pandemic has sparked a deep recession and dented consumer demand for the tech gadgets that use Micron chips. However, millions of people are working from home and going online more, and that has spurred demand for Micron components in servers that power much of the digital activity. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Video games saw a boost in popularity with stay-at-home orders taking hold. That's been a boon for Activision Blizzard. CEO Bobby Kotick discussed the trend on Leadership Live with David Rubenstein, heard weekly on Bloomberg Television.
What we've seen across all demographics is increase in play that I think is keeping people more safely at home.
Activision CEO Bobby Kotick has been running his company from home with employees collaborating remotely. Since March, shares of the video game maker have risen 30%. It is 6:39 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
MTA can't go bankrupt, so how does it survive? I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. New York's Metropolitan Transportation Authority has a lot of problems. Pat Foy, the agency's CEO, said last week that it's facing the most acute financial crisis in the history of the MTA, likening it to a four-alarm fire. Bankruptcy isn't an option. That's not because the MTA couldn't use the debt relief. Far from it. It has more than $40 billion of municipal bonds outstanding. Debt is as much a part of the lifeblood of the nation's largest public transit system as the subway tunnels themselves. Rather, the MTA is legally barred from filing for bankruptcy. That makes it tough to project the MTA's financial situation and come up with a scenario in which it does any better than muddle through. More than likely, it will continue to lean heavily on government assistance while maxing out its debt. Maybe that's a better alternative than bankruptcy and the stigma that comes with it, or maybe not. Regardless, New Yorkers can only hope there's some money left for much-needed infrastructure improvements without huge fare hikes. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. S&P futures down 3, Dow futures down 52 points, NASDAQ futures little change to lower. This is Bloomberg. And just before 6:41 on Wall Street, a new crisis inside the White House. What did President Trump know about reports of Russian bounties against U.S. troops in Afghanistan? Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter joins us next. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower while the dollar index strengthens to a one-month high amid concern that new virus infections will slow the pace of business reopenings. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 3 points. Dow futures down 50. NASDAQ futures down 1. The DAX in Germany higher, up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury is down 0.32, yield 0.63%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.4% or 56 cents at $39.14 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1% of $1.90 at $17.83.10 an ounce. The euro, 1.1216 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2280. And the yen is at 107.73. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, local governments across the country issuing new restrictions as coronavirus infections climb. Bloomberg's John Tucker joining us now live with the very latest. John.
And Amy, the number of intensive care patients in Florida's Miami-Dade County is at its highest level in 2 months. Houston area intensive care unit wards are 95% full. Los Angeles County counted its highest daily totals of new cases in hospitalizations. Arizona is rolling back reopening plans, closing bars, gyms, and movie theaters for 30 days. And Governor Phil Murphy is pausing New Jersey's plans to restart indoor dining on Thursday. New York also considering postponement. And meantime, the World Health Organization first became aware of the novel coronavirus 6 months ago, and now with more than 500,000 dead, it says the worst is yet to come. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, John. As Congress is briefed on allegations that Russia offered bounties to the Taliban to kill U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan, President Trump's Director of National Intelligence vowed to investigate. But John Ratcliffe also rebuked the person or persons behind those allegations. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Amy, thanks. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio, where it is 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in the nation's capital include Fed Chair Jerome Powell warning of extraordinary economic uncertainty as he testifies later today before the House Financial Services Committee. The Supreme Court issues more opinions today after throwing out a Louisiana abortion law yesterday. And Vice President Mike Pence is rescheduling a trip to Arizona till tomorrow as the spike in coronavirus infections continues. Also making news, the White House briefing House Democrats later this morning on that reported intelligence that Russia paid bounties to kill U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan. Let's get more now. Bloomberg News politics editor Kathleen Hunter is with us. And, of course, this comes after, as Amy mentioned, House Republicans were briefed on this intelligence that was first reported in the New York Times. What's the latest on what the White House is saying about this, Kate?
Well, I think that now what we're hearing from the White House is, some of an acknowledgement that this is something that was at least brought to the White House's attention at some point. I think that there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of consensus within the White House at this stage about, and certainly there perhaps wasn't at the time, about the credibility of those reports. But I think perhaps even more significantly, what we're hearing from these Republicans that came to the White House and got briefed yesterday is some concern, continued concern. It doesn't sound like these briefings have allayed that concern completely, and, a lot of talk from Republicans about the need to dig deeper and get more information from the White House about what exactly the president knew and when he knew it.
Well, I mean, that is the key question, isn't it? What did the president know? When did he know it? The line that we're hearing from the official White House spokeswoman is that this information didn't get to the president because the intelligence wasn't completely verified. What do you make of that stance that the White House is taking?
Well, I think there's a sense, I think what I take away from kind of that comment and the way the White House is framing it there is the idea that this wasn't super solid intelligence in the view of the White House. And so therefore, I think what they're trying to do is distance Trump from the allegation that essentially was put forth in the New York Times story that he, was aware of the reports that Russia was, using the Taliban to target U.S. troops in Afghanistan and that he chose to do nothing about it. I think the message they're trying to put out there is that, the president wasn't really read in on this or at least fully read in on this because there were questions about the veracity of the intelligence.
Does it also raise questions about the president's stance toward Russia if the president isn't being fully read in on this intelligence?
Well, I think it's a question, a little bit of a chicken before the egg question, right? I think the implication of some of Trump's critics would be that, is he not being read in deliberately because, there are questions already out there about how close he is to Putin and, whether he might be, unnecessarily favorable towards Russia or refusing to take a harder line on Russia or whether, whether that is part of the reason why he's not being fully read in there or whether, he is being fully read in and then choosing not to take any kind of action. And so I think that's really the rub there is what the question is kind of turning on at this stage.
Of course, there are going to be a lot more questions as this continues to develop. But of course, the focus for markets right now and for much of the country, of course, is on the surging coronavirus, particularly in the South. And there's a report in The Washington Post this morning that it's going to be coming in much more clearer focus for the Joe Biden campaign later today.
That's right. So Joe Biden is going to be giving a speech today in his hometown of Wilmington, Delaware, where we expect him to essentially tie together a number of the proposals that he's put out there in recent months as it pertains to the coronavirus and, what he would do if he were president right now. And he has been quite critical, of course, already of the president and the president's response to the virus. But I think what we're going to see now is him more fully than he has in the past sort of laying out his alternative vision for the U.S. response to the coronavirus. And so I think that's something to watch, quite closely, because I do think that one of the big questions for voters in November is going to be who they see as more, better positioned to help the U.S. continue to respond to and recover from the pandemic.
And, of course, we'll be watching for that announcement as it unfolds later today as well. Bloomberg News politics editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. You can read much more on these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 6:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, providing industry partners with commercially focused research and innovation services through its New Jersey Innovation Institute. Learn more at njii.com. Now let's see what's happening in science, technology, engineering, and math. As COVID-19 spreads, governments began using contact tracing apps to keep track of the deadly virus. But it looks like tech has failed to deliver. In France, less than 3% of the population has downloaded Stop COVID. The UK missed an initial rollout deadline. Tracing apps in the US have been caught in a social media war about whether virus news is real or fake, while Australia's COVID Safe has not detected a single case despite 6 million downloads. The one nation with some success has been China, but only because authorities made the technology mandatory. Commercial fishing has dipped since the start of the pandemic, but scientists say it's unclear if the slowdown will help endangered species of marine life recover. Hours logged by fishermen at sea fell by nearly 10% around the world after the March declaration of a pandemic. As countries began to resume fishing, new questions are emerging about whether an extended slowdown could help rare ocean animals such as the North Atlantic right whale. And the New York Times is removing its content from Apple News. The company says Apple News did not give the paper enough control of its news business or reader relationships. And that's today's Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. John, good morning.
And Karen, New York City is easing pandemic-related restrictions after a three-month shutdown. Offices slowly starting to reopen. And for small businesses that depend on commuters, this reopening can't come soon enough. Glenn Light runs Tescatore Seafood and Sushi with his partners at Grand Central Terminal, and he joins us now. Glenn, have the customers come back?
Well, the first opening was June 8th, and the week of June 8th and the week of June 15th, sales actually dropped 10% from the prior 4 weeks when there was no quote-unquote opening. And now we just had phase two opening last week. I mean, minuscule.
Well, why did the business drop off at that one point?
I can't answer that question. Everybody asks me that question. I get the feeling that they're just waiting to see who's going to be first. They announced last week that ridership was still down 90%.
And that's your bread and butter, the ridership.
Yeah.
Those are your customers.
100%.
Have you gotten any guidance as to when offices will be fully reopened for your planning purposes, when revenue might start to get back to something normal?
It seems to be all over the board, so we were really interested in seeing this first week of the phase two opening to see if we saw any, you know, office people coming back, but little to none.
Glenn Light of Tescatore Seafood at Grand Central, thanks. Best of luck to you. We're going to continue to bring you stories of small businesses trying to adapt and survive in this pandemic every day at this time, right here on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker. That is your Bloomberg Small Business Report, Karen.
All right, John, thank you. And S&P futures are down 4 points. Dow futures down 61. NASDAQ futures down about 7. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 0.63%. And the yield on the 2 years at 0.14%, and the euro 1.1210 against the dollar, the yen 107.74. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.